We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Congressman Brian Higgins is with us live this morning. Congressman, your passion came through loud and clear on Friday with your response to the extension of the U.S.-Canada border closure, and we'll just shorten it to the letters BS, but did you get a lot of reaction to that?
I guess we did. I searched for a more elegant way to say that, but I mean, given what's going on, there's no good word for it. The good thing is progress is being made. The White House is now engaged with the various cabinet secretaries toward the goal of hopefully making an announcement in the near future about relaxing restrictions at the border, because the science, the data, and the facts conclude that if you're fully vaccinated, you have immunity from getting COVID or getting COVID, and therefore those who are vaccinated should be able to cross the border.
Is it time for the U.S. to act on its own? It seems like we've been acting in the name of diplomacy, and you know, it might be noble to kind of look like we're working together on this, but is it time for the U.S. to say, look, our side of the border, it's going to be open now, and it's up to you on the other side to make your own rules, but this is how we're going to treat this?
The answer is yes, without question. We can unilaterally do a number of things, allowing families to reunite who have been separated for 16 months. When you offer an exemption for NHL hockey players owing to a playoff schedule, that's not following the science. That's not following the facts. Look, I like hockey, but the fact of the matter is people that have been denied access to their properties in Canada, people that have been denied reuniting with loved ones, they deserve consideration, and they should be included in an expanded category of essential traveler.
Now, when you think about that, opening it up unilaterally, just on our side, I'm wondering, though, if you think that would change what's going on in Canada at all. It seems like it would mount the pressure, but based on how their government is acting toward this issue, I don't even know if that would really make a difference.
Well, look, the Canadian Prime Minister said previously that he wants 75% of Canada's population to have one dose and 20% to be fully vaccinated. Guess what? They've reached that goal this weekend. They met that threshold. Canada surpassed 20% of fully vaccinated citizens. That's 6.8 million people. And reach 75% of eligible Canadian population that has at least one dose. So you can't keep changing the goalposts here. I mean, we have made major progress. Last June 19th, 2020, there were 3,847 COVID deaths. This past Friday, June 19th, 2021, there were 198 COVID deaths. That's a 95% decrease in 1 year. The only thing that's changed is the availability of vaccines. And so, you know, people who are reluctant, hesitant, should reconsider, because if you want to protect yourself and your family, you really should become vaccinated. And in that way, you gain immunity. And these vaccines, I don't know if enough attention has been paid to this. They are astonishingly successful. In other words, when they were developing you know, the technology toward a vaccine. They were hoping to achieve maybe 60%. These vaccines are 85, 90, 95%. The head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the United States said this past Sunday that, you know, even this Delta variant, which is highly transmissible, you have a wide level of protection against it. So it's a biomedical marvel that we were able to get vaccines as quickly and to get vaccines that are both safe and effective, and we need to celebrate that.
On opening the U.S. side of the border, how could that happen? How is that decision made? Who makes it? Is it the White House?
Well, yeah, the White House would make that. And, you know, the problem is with the White House, like all White Houses, you know, the federal government is a huge, opaque bureaucracy. It's very, very difficult to find a decision maker. I have talked with many cabinet secretaries, all of whom say they're going to take all this information and go back to, you know, the task force. Well, you know, somebody's got to make a decision. And the bottom line here is there are two people that can change this. One is the President of the United States in coordination with the Prime Minister of Canada, or doing it unilaterally, doing it on our own. And at least those people who have been separated from loved ones for the past 16 months could be reunited based on a directive by the United States government, the President of the United States.
We've been looking this morning also at something you were a part of last week, and that is the kind of the shift of attention from the Skyway project to some of the other infrastructure projects around the city of Buffalo, notably the 198 and the 33. The 33 example, I think a lot of people are a little confused, because when we talked about the Skyway, the talk was removal of the Skyway. When we're talking about the 33, it's not the same discussion, right? Nobody is calling for the removal of the 33 expressway. It's just a very big time reimagining of it, right?
Yeah, it's a big project, as you know. And there is a group called Restore Our Community Coalition who's been working on this for two decades. And what they're basically saying is that in the early 1960s, when the Kensington Expressway was built, you obliterated the most majestic of all of the Olmsted Parkways, and that was Humboldt Parkway. And you denied communities access from Martin Luther King Park, previously Humboldt Park, to Delaware Park. And they want that restored, and they've been working toward it. So the announcement on Friday with Assembly Majority Leader Crystal People-Stokes and State Senator Tim Kennedy and Mayor Byron Brown, along with the Restore Our Community Coalition, was to begin the process, which is required by federal law, called the Environmental Impact Study. It sounds bureaucratic, but you can't move a project of this magnitude without doing all of the assessing all the impacts that this project would have. And obviously, there are a number of impacts: neighborhood, lack of access. I mean, why did we allow in Buffalo 90 acres of Olmsted Park and park land, parkway and parkland, to be obliterated due to expressway building? Well, there were no environmental laws in place at the time that provided a review of the impact that that would have. And now there's a $20 billion item in the American Jobs Plan, which is essentially the administration's infrastructure plan to fix neighborhoods that were destroyed by expressway building, because this was a thing not only in Buffalo, but throughout the nation. And, you know, property values were hit hard, life quality, environmental impacts. So this is intended to fix it. So in terms of the Kensington, whatever, the EIS will look at the current situation and two or three alternatives. And that process will take about a year and a half. And then and only then will a decision be made by the community about what is the best way to go. Do nothing? I don't think that that's an option, but there'll be two or three other alternatives, all of which will be subject to public review and scrutiny, and a decision is made. But these are big projects. A lot of people have different opinions about these things, and it's really just to position Buffalo to be able to make a smart decision about its transportation future, because without alternatives, you have no alternative other than to rebuild what you already have, even though it may be unsafe, even though it may be obsolete, and a number of other issues that may say, you know, the preference would be to replace this. But it has to be with something better. And I think, you know, when you talked about the Skyway, I think that was one of the big issues. You know, I had been engaged with New York State DOT and the governor's office for 18 months. And you got to be able to answer the question, how does the commuter experience improve? What are the other improvements to these projects? If you can't answer those questions, then don't, you know, publicly advance an alternative without answering those questions. And that's where we got jammed up.
Yeah, it's a major connector from downtown to the north towns, for sure. Just to clarify, the 33 would stay for now. This is largely filling in that stretch that separates Humboldt Parkway and brings that neighborhood back together.
Yes, Susan, a number of ideas have been advanced, particularly by the Restore Our Community Coalition, including capping it, you know, to bring the green space back, to reunite those parts of the neighborhood that were separated by expressway building. I mean, you know, you really think about it. This stuff, it happened all the time because people were just pushed aside. That's what happened up in Niagara Falls with the Robert Moses Parkway. The Robert Moses Parkway was never a parkway. It was an 18.5-mile elevated section of expressway that blocked the city of Niagara Falls from, as I have always often said, arguably the greatest waterfront in the world, the Niagara Gorge. But those people, you know, along the route, there were homes there at one time. Robert Moses wrote to them and said, get out of your house because we're taking it. And they cleared all that land and they built the Robert Moses Parkway. The good thing is, after, you know, 60 years, the Robert Moses Parkway is no longer Robert Moses, but it is a parkway. And it's already accruing to the benefit of both life quality and economic activity in the city of Niagara Falls. And that's what these projects are intended to do, help the neighborhood, but also serve as a catalyst for new investment to create new opportunities in housing, employment, healthcare, et cetera.
Congressman, thanks so much for the time this morning. As always, it's Congressman Brian Higgins joining us on WBEN Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.